Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, 'cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake and the heat between your legs. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run. I know what you can do. Just a simple touch and it can set you free. We don't have to rush when you're
personal
with David J. Soul and find out what he got going on in Love's Park. I'm your boy Dynamite from Rockford, Illinois. Welcome to DPMG United. This is the Glorious Radio Show. Tune in. If you're listening live online, guess what? You can call me, 657-383-0605. You never know who will stop by the studio when I'm on the air. Low-key Angels is already in the building, downstairs rehearsing, getting ready for their next event. I know Art B is coming over. He don't know I gave him the name Art B because that's going to be his industry name on the music side. Y'all know he got everything going on with the politics with Mr. Daniel Biss and everything. But Art will be in here shortly. He just hit me up and say he want to come a little sooner. And the man of the hour, David J. Soul, will be here. So why don't we do this? Let's get into a song. And after the song, if my guests are not here yet, we go get into an exclusive brand new world premiere of Glorious, the DJ KD, DPMG Let's Dance Mix 1, which will be on the Glorious We So Glorious album coming out in September. That is the DPMG United Variety Artist album. So with that being said, let's go to a song right now, man. This artist right here, this is a new artist. Well, actually, my board, I'm just getting on, so I got to go down and get my switchboard together because I kind of, like, logged in late. I was running late getting to the studio today because rush hour was hectic. It's real nice outside, and it was, like, 5 o'clock, 4:30, so y'all know that's rush hour, you know? So my man Nick Barnes, NB, brand new song right now. It's called Action. Remember where you heard it first, DPMG United.
Like I serve too. It's 4 a.m. What's the curfew? Bitch, I'm sicker than a bird flu. I'm no pitcher hoping if I ever curved you, I hope I never hurt you. Striking out with loaded bases. It's no race, but you still trying tire laces. Come to find out all that time you spent was wasted. Way too complacent to the point that you got faded. Way too jaded for the times that we got placed in. Replacing cases that you drink to get evasive. You kill the pain, but it still lingers and you hate it. Nothing ever switches on its own, you gotta change it. Don't get it twisted when I mention that I made it. No need for all the hatred, I just came up from the basement. Only up from here, it's mine and I'ma take it. Mark my words, there ain't no breaks until I make it. Yeah. Lights, camera, action from the photos that they shoot. I'm just trying to ball out from my head down to my shoes. Lights, camera, action from the photos that they shoot. I'm just trying to ball out from my head down to my shoes. From my head down to my shoes. Lights, camera, action from the photos that they shoot.
Tougher times when you face eviction or running water just to do the dishes. Starting over when you never finished. Reminisce about the times that you start to miss. Like, what's the purpose of the good life if it don't exist? I'm not a pessimist, but shit is getting repetitious. There's always worse conditions, and I'm grateful for what's given. But there's gotta be a little more to life than what we're living. I opened up my eyes to a newer kind of vision. I was sick of sticking to an empty script that wasn't written. You slowly start to slip when emotions get too hidden. Almost buried in the dirt, but somehow I've always risen. Yeah. I'm moving quick, but is it fast enough? Time will tell, is something always passing us? Yeah, I'm just a diamond in the rough.
Lights, camera, action from the photos that they shoot. I'm just trying to ball out from my head down to my shoes. Lights, camera, action from the photos that they shoot. I'm just trying to ball out from my head.
Action from the photos that they shoot. my eyes, hey. And I realize,
okay.
I can touch the sky,
hey.
It's gonna be alright,
okay.
It's gonna be okay,
okay.
I just elevate,
hey.
And I meditate,
okay.
On a better day, okay,
okay.
It's gonna be
okay,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It gon'
yeah, okay.
Okay.
Look.
Look.
I close my eyes and meditate.
Meditate.
Elevate. Sometimes I think about way back in the day. Growing up on minimum wage. Stuck in a cage, they said be free though. Just trying to find my mind like Nemo. Just trying to do good for my people. Same time, see what's good for me though. I been below zero. Had to be my own hero. Had to take a loss, had to pay the cost. I'm the boss just like Debo. They ain't give me mine, I had to take it. This real life, this ain't fake shit. Born in Bahamas like a Haitian. Seeing time, shout out all of my Haitians and Bahamians and everyone who wanna make it. We gon' take it to the sky like a spaceship. Getting higher like a facelift. Don't look down, let your face lift. What's meant to be can't replace it. Can't pretend to be, can't escape it. Live, learn, and face it.
I close my eyes, and I realize I can touch the sky. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be
okay.
I just elevate, and I meditate on a better day. Okay, it's gonna be
okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
I was born to be free. I just want to be me. I just want to buy a brand new house and give my mama the key. Pardon me if I'm standing out, cause my vision larger than me. Bring the cameras out, bring the flammers out, something on my enemies. They try to make you feel wrong when you're right. You know who you are. They try to bring you down, they try to dim your light. When you know you a star. When you know who you are, gotta go harder than the pain from the scars. It's hard to fall when you next to God. Just can't complain, it's lessons for all. All I ever wanted was spread my wings. Get up on the ghetto and reverse these things. Tell all the kids they young kings and queens. We all supreme. Although they taught us that we ain't the same. Although we get caught up in things, rearrange the aim. We gotta maintain and remain and dream.
Dream, dream, dream,
dream,
dream,
dream,
dream.
Dream, yeah, everything gon' be kosher. Just ride the storm till it's over. I got better days when I realize that I'm the war and the soldier.
Hold on. I close my eyes, and I realize,
okay.
I can touch the sky,
okay.
It's gon' be alright,
okay.
It's gon' be okay,
okay.
I just elevate,
okay.
And I meditate,
okay.
On a better day,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better day,
okay.
Show again. Today is Thursday, August 24th. It is now 5:20 Central Standard Time. It is 3:20 on the West Coast, and it is 6:20 out on the East Coast. About 10 minutes before my interview will start with my man David J. And before we do that, we are a independent record label. We do have artists, and that's what our strength is and what we do the most. And we got a big album coming out, you know, so I do have to promote and play the music of my, you know, up-and-coming artists and our movement. So right now we're going to get into a track that's going to be on an album that I pretty much handpicked, and I got up with my DJ, DJ KD, who's been rocking with DPMG for about 4 years now. I used to be in a dance group. I started my own dance group back in the day or whatnot, so I was the leader of a dance group way a long time ago. I honestly feel like that people are not dancing and having fun no more and having a good time. So with this album, with this We So Glorious album, you're going to get a variety of some of everything on here. I just want to keep everybody excited and on their heels and surprised. I want them to not know what to expect with this album. You know what I'm saying? So wherever you at right now, if you're listening to the show live, if you're listening to the show, you know, in the podcast after it's over, one thing that I for surely want to do is definitely get you in the mood to, you know, have a good time. So without further ado, I can't play the whole thing because it's going to be on the album. It's out, it's not out yet, but I do want to give y'all a sample of just what I'm talking about. Here we go. You heard it first. DJ KD, remember that. It's called Glorious, the dance mix.
Sick of this shit. I'm not playing with niggas.
This
no
is
more.
A truth.
DPMG United.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's dance.
Tonight I'm feeling
picture. Been working and working and working and working, the time so full. Doing a split, my face in the middle, like ooh, yeah. Look at these clips. Thinking about doing this shit all day. And now it's time to let my thoughts in effect. Yeah, my God just been blessed. That ass in them breasts. Said this pussy will kill you, okay. I ain't scared of death. She's doing shit for me, she don't do for her ex. Like put on the meals and put on that dress. Put on that makeup and call in that bed. And work for the camera like you on the set. Yeah.
You all day, play,
play, play, play, play,
play,
play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play, play,
we live on air now, right now. So welcome back, everybody. And it is 5:28 Central Standard Time. It is 6:28 on the East Coast, 3:28 on the West Coast. Again, today is Thursday, August 24th, and my special guest has arrived. He's on time. In fact, he's a little early, and that's awesome. That is awesome. So we have David J. Soul. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are.
David J. Soul. Okay, he's in the building right now, live and in the flesh. So before we get into the paperwork and the questions, why don't we just start off with you just introducing yourself and telling them a little bit about what you do.
Well, my name, like I said, you know, David Soul, S-O-L-L. Currently, I've been a school bus driver for the last 8 years. I've been a precinct committeeman for the Democratic Party since 2011. I was one of the original founders of the local chapter of the Occupy Rockford movement that started back in, if we remember that, from Zuccotti Park, you know, and it kind of grew within a week. You know, I'm just a political activist. I've run for the county board of Winnebago County. I've run for city council of Los Park. And now I'm currently helping a guy by the name of Nathan Ariave, who's wanting to try and get the Democratic nomination to run against Aaron Kinzinger for Congress, yep, in the Illinois 16th. And, yeah, I mean, I could go on, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay. That's well said. Okay, so let me do this. So you're running for city council in Loves Park, right?
Not currently yet, but I will.
Right, you're going to run.
After, yeah, the next election for that will be next April of 2019.
Okay, April of 2019. So let me ask you this. By running, what are some of the things that you're going to bring to the table to help the community out? For example, there's a lot of potholes in the streets in Loves Park and in Rockford. So what are some of the things that you plan to do to make the community better?
Well, as far as potholes go, I mean, that's more just being a good leader and going up to the city, you know, management and the road crew and basically just kind of telling them, hey, guys, you know, get out there and do your job. And for the most part, I think they have done a fairly decent job over the years. You know, are there times when some potholes might sit there for a little while longer than usual? Sure. But that's going to happen with every city. It's just part of the, you know, the game, unfortunately. But if a pothole is sitting there in the street, you know, for more than, I'd say, 2 weeks, that's a problem. And I have seen it on occasion. You know, another example is where I live, there was a gas leak. Gas main leak underneath the road, and it sunk the road in a little area. And that sat there for over a month before they finally sent someone out there. But once they did, they got it done pretty quickly. It was fixed within 2 days. So good. You know, but why did it sit there for all that time? You know, that's a good question I would like to see answered.
Right, right. So just doing some of the stuff that I read on you, I know you said that when you run, you'll be for this and you'll do this and you'll do that. So what are some of the ideas that you have if you were to be elected on some of the things that you would like to fix, change, or just bring to the table?
Well, one of the things, well, of course, this was running for county board, And I think it can still be done at the city level, and that's the our county animal services currently has a kill rate of approximately 48% to make room for new animals as they come and go. Now, there's a lot of details involved in that. I mean, that's kind of breaking it down into a kind of a quick summary. But basically, I would still, as an elected official of the city, I would bring to the forefront of wanting the county to do the no-kill, but I would also want Loves Park to do its part by expanding its the citizens' ability to adopt. Right now, I think it's currently set at 2. I'd like to see it go up to 3. So that every families have more of an opportunity to help clear out animals and get them off the streets, get them, keep them from being killed. So that's one. Another one, I would like to see a public banking done. Now, the city of Loves Park does not have the population to do that on its own, but it would be great if the city of Loves Park government were to support the idea of a public bank. That could put pressure on the county to finally go ahead and do it. Now, again, there's a lot of details there. There's a lot of information I have on my website on it. I wrote a guest column on it not that long ago. In fact, this information that you're looking at right now, if you're willing to keep, you can keep it, scan it, maybe post it on your website so that your listeners can, read up on this information later. Another one I'd like to do is, and if I'm, of course, I'm only running for city council, not mayor, but if I were to, say, run for mayor, or if I was going to be mayor, or even just a city councilman, one of the first things I would want to do is put solar panels on all city government buildings. And
can you explain that for people who may not know exactly what that is, including you?
Well, most Americans don't actually know this, and that's okay because our wonderful media doesn't like to get into things that doesn't put eyeballs on their stations. But the country of Germany, for example, back about 15 some years ago, they were approached by the nuclear industry, and they wanted to put up 7 nuclear power plants in and around Germany to create new forms of energy. Well, another group went to the German federal government and said, "How about instead we go solar?" So what the government did is they decided to try this experiment: go with solar, subsidize it, and get it on every building, every home, everywhere they could. Well, to the point where all they wanted to do is just show that over a 10-year period, they could create at a minimum equal to 7 nuclear power plants, okay, just to avoid having to build new power plants. Because we all know, like Fukushima, we've all heard of that, obviously, because that just happened not that long ago. Then you had Three Mile Island here in America, Pittsburgh area. Back in the 70s, so and that's not to say that nuclear isn't safe. I mean, it is for the most part, but there are those risks because if a solar panel ever has an actual leak, well, that's just a sunny day, so big deal. And so I would say that so ultimately, what the country of Germany did by putting all these solar panels up, they now created more energy than 10. Nuclear power plants.
Wow.
So they more than got what they needed. So they didn't put nuclear power plants. Well, now come to a local area to bring it down to to Loves Park. The same thing can be done. Only obviously it would have to be on a much smaller scale. You have to get grants from the state. You have to hope maybe that perhaps we can even get grants through our senators and our congressmen. The so-called pork, if you would. That's really what that would amount to. But those are subsidies that would help offset the costs at the local level to allow people to voluntarily, and I would make it voluntarily. I wouldn't make it so that you pick a certain street and say, this street, you're going to do it. It's how many, you as a homeowner, raise your hand. Do you want to be part of this or not? And any homeowner up to a certain amount each year would be able to sign up for it. Solar power, solar panels would be retrofitted into their homes. Basically, their homes would be upgraded with the green technology, essentially. And then we see how it works. And you do that over time. And slowly but surely, we start getting with a ComEd out of our lives. Well, and so there's that. Now, another issue I have is public internet. There's been Wi-Fi, but a public Wi-Fi service for all tax-paying citizens. You know, it's not, believe it or not, it's actually not that much money. I mean, it is in the millions to put the infrastructure together.
When you say public, because we already have some in like McDonald's and the libraries, so are you, how are you planning to expand that?
Well, the city itself would, okay, let me kind of go back. The city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I, and forgive me for not knowing like all the exact details, but I read up on it, and they have a comparable size of, or population size as the whole county. But there are smaller cities all over America that have populations very close and similar size to Love's Park that have also done this. And all it is the government would subsidize the creation of a Wi-Fi service that each taxpayer would pay, say, $40. And they get double the speed that Comcast currently offers. And you can get, you can even throw in internet service. You can even throw in cell phone service, too, at some point in the future. For purposes of Wi-Fi, $40 all by itself is certainly worth that cost. Because what does the average person pay
Infinity, Comcast. Man, shoot, I'm paying $140 a month.
Yeah.
And that's for 3-in-1, but that's still a lot. You're right.
Yeah.
That's
high. So even though your taxes, you know, so people might, you know, obviously people go, oh, my taxes will go up. Well, that's true. Taxes will go up. But when you figure in you're saving $100 at least, and your taxes go up locally, say, well, the $40, for example, that you're going to pay now to the city instead of Comcast, maybe your extra taxes and your sales tax might go up an extra $10. Well, okay, you're still paying only $50 now versus $140. You're still saving money. You know, you can make it, you know, where you're paying $100 in taxes, but compare that to $150 or $150, you're still saving $40 or $50. So either way, it pays for itself over time. And but each of these cities, each of these communities that have public Wi-Fi have gotten to the point where Comcast has had to do one of two things. It's either had to lower its cost in those areas, because before these cities did this, they had no competition. Comcast was literally the only competition in town. So they were able to charge $150, $170, $180 a month. Well, guess what? That's kind of what we have here in the Rockford area, you know, in our county. You've got Comcast, but you do have, to a lesser extent, AT&T what's that other one? It's HughesNet or something. I can't remember the exact name of it, but there's another one, but they're very small, very limited, and very slow. Now, currently, I have AT&T at my house. The internet is slower than molasses in the middle of winter. But you know what? I don't care, because I can't. I don't want to be a customer of Comcast. You know, just because I don't like their business practices. But that's just me.
Okay, let me ask you this. I decided right now we're not going to play any music during this interview because I see he brought sheets, and I want to touch on a number of things. But so let me just say this real quick. We are talking to David J. Soul of Love's Park. So if you're listening to the show online, I know a lot of you people scared to call in and don't like to talk. It's okay. You can definitely call in 657-303-0605 if you want to ask Mr. David anything. But actually, what I would like to do is, if you're looking at the show, then David is the guy in the pictures, but there's a link, and that link is to electdavidsoul.com, which is his website. So why don't you explain to us and just walk us through a tutorial just of what they'll get on your website. For example, I just now noticed the tabs you got: Welcome, About David, Issues, War 2, Blog, Get Involved, and Donate. So what I would like to do, I'll break it down. Let's go right to Issues. What will we find on the issue?
It's actually been a couple months since I last looked, I'll be perfectly honest. But I do believe several of the issues that I've already kind of touched on, the solar, the public Wi-Fi, you know, the idea of just good government for the people, because yeah, when you have government, you know, government is a necessary evil. We all know that. And what I hope to accomplish is to let the people understand that you don't need to fear your own government. And let's face it, a lot of people do fear their own government for one reason or another.
When you say that, what you say fear, what do you mean by fear?
Well, I don't mean fear in the sense like German people feared the Nazi government, you know, back in the 40s. I don't mean it that way. But fear in the sense that if you call on a neighbor, if you call on a cop even, if you see a cop doing something wrong, or if you see a city councilman doing something wrong, you see, you know, anything untoward, a lot of people kind of back away and go, well, you know, I'd rather not, because then they know my name and they might actually come and target me. We've heard of it happening. We know it happens. And I'm not saying that that happens in Loves Park. Now, that's not my point here.
Right.
I'm just saying that is an understandable situation, especially ever since the 80s when Ronald Reagan, you know, came to us back in 1982. Some of your listeners might not be old enough to remember this. Others might be. When he said the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm here from the government, and I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." And that set the tone, certainly at the federal level, and it's trickled down ever since, for people to fear the government in the sense that government can't do anything right. Well, if I call the government to do X, they'll just screw it up.
Right.
So I'm just going to go fix it myself, or I don't fix it because you're waiting to make the money to save, and you'll just fix it later. But then next thing you know, that garage door is still broken, which actually reminds me, I don't remember if I have it on my issues or not, but one of my other – there was a program that I kind of thought about where if say – okay, you know how there's the revenue from the video gaming?
Yeah,
that we have in the city. And well, this might be, it might, I may not have been very detailed in it here.
Okay. So these are really some good pointers. And I wanted to go through the stuff on the site, but he got so many things on here that you really need, you know what I'm saying? People really need to come and read and check this out. Like, hearing, I don't know David J. from Timbuktu. I mean, like, I've just personally met him. I'm listening to him speak as we're doing this. So this is just me. Do you plan on taking it any farther than city council?
Absolutely.
Why don't you explain that? What are your plans? President one day? How far do you want to go?
No, not definitely not president. No.
But why not president?
Because I'm just not built for something like that. I mean, I don't want the responsibility of 7 billion human lives in my hands. I mean, yeah, 7 billion, because...
What's the difference of 7 billion, 770? You're still responsible.
This is true. I would say the absolute furthest I would want to take my political career would be state rep. I have considered that. I know last year there was a very nice lady, Trisha Sweeney, that ran against John Cabello, and that's my district. If she decides to run against him again, I hope she does. But if it comes down to it, and that was something that and it was an open seat, or not, well, open in the sense of Democrats not running, or even an independent. I mean, in fact, I would almost be tempted to run as an independent. This gets into another discussion. Where I sent some of the drawbacks and the negatives of my own party, with money and politics, obviously.
Is it a Democrat?
Yes, I am. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I'm more of a Bernie-crat. And, you know, I would say I'm more of a Democratic socialist, but I also, you know.
What's a Bernie-crat? What's that?
That's just sort of a name. Yeah, it's more of a name.
Bernie, is it Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
What's your connection with him?
Actually, I started the local group called Northern Illinois for Bernie Sanders on Facebook the day he announced. Within an hour, I had already created that group. And I had it ready to go, and it built up to, about 2,500 people or so, I believe. And now that wasn't all on me. I just started it, and then it built itself from there. All I did was just start it up. And because I had very little to do with the group growing, I mean, that was all on Bernie doing what he did. and people being excited. And so I kind of, you know, I've known about Bernie for well over 10 years. I used to listen to Tom, or I still do, Tom Hartman on the radio. They used to do brunch with Bernie, Tom with Bernie on Fridays. And I really wish Bernie would go back to doing that. If that's okay. Tom Hartman's got a new guy called, his name is Mark Pocan, I believe. And he's a congressman from Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. And he's kind of the next level progressive. So, and I wish him well, and I hope he does some good things in the future. Maybe he'll run for president one day. But for my purposes, like I said, city council, if I can get elected, that would be awesome. I'd like to throw some of my ideas out there, you know, running. And if I don't win there, that's okay. I'll try for the county board one more time. Or maybe I may just say to heck with it and go right to the state rep position and jump right to it. But I'd rather have some experience kind of behind under my belt. But it's not uncommon for people to run for a higher office, state rep or even Congress, with absolutely no prior elected experience. Now, most of the time that usually kind of ends up being a bad deal, but that's usually because people that do that mostly are doing it for the wrong reasons. I want to do it for the right reasons, and I do feel that I have a background enough where I, even though I've not been elected except as a precinct committeeman, that I do have enough knowledge and enough, what's the word I'm looking for? Pizzazz, okay, I guess we can go with that, to really make a good positive difference.
Okay, now, let's do the three topics already. We approached 20 minutes, and this has been an amazing interview. And David is just so calm. He came in ready. I mean, he got everything together. And so I want to touch on these three. Hold on. All right. Yeah, the precinct committee, man. Why don't you explain? Because I know Art was telling me. We get into these three subjects in 1 second, but yeah. I know Art is, you know, convincing for me to run for the precinct committee, man. So why don't you just tell the people about that and let them know how they can run and be involved in it?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's actually a little bit deeper than just simply running. There's a lot to be there's a lot involved in the precinct committeeman position. You have to know a little bit of the history, and you have to know what you're getting into. To get into a little bit of the history or the understanding of it, the structure of it, precinct committeemen are the grassroots foundation of all political parties. That's Democrat, Republican, that's Green Party, that's the Tea Party, that's, you know, the Constitution Party, that's Libertarians. You name the party, they need precinct committeemen. They're the people that are the first line of defense for the political party that is in question. Okay.
What do you mean, first line of defense?
Well, first line of defense and offense even too. And that's what I mean by that is get the information out there. See, so kind of put it in perspective. And this is, again, when I bring the name I'm about to bring up is not meant to slight him. Okay. This is just as a recent example, only because I've already received 8 different full-color photo, what do they call the flyers, in my mailbox from J.P. Pritzker, who's running for governor of Illinois. You know, he's a good guy. I've met him. He's got a good story. But the problem is he's not relying on the party structure as much as he is on his money. So a precinct committeeman, then you have a guy named Daniel Biss.
That's what I was going to ask you next, though.
Now, so he's another.
You were in this camp, right?
Well, I support him. I'm not part of his campaign in any way, but I definitely support him wholeheartedly. So he's my guy, and I will do everything I can to try and get him a nomination. I don't deny that. Full disclosure, straight up.
Okay.
Now, Daniel Biss is relying on the power of the people to go knock on doors. You know, you get the small flyers.
And instead of
mailing them out, he's getting people out there knocking on doors. Where J.P. Pritzker, because he's a billionaire, doesn't have to do it the hard way. He can do it the easy way by just, yeah, he's short, and he's using his money to do it. Now that's good politics in itself. But it's also very unexciting, too. Because when it comes to the primary, that might garner him enough of name recognition to win. And that's fine. That's great. I mean, I'm sure if J.P. Pritzker gets a nomination and he beats Bruce Rauner, more power to him. Great. But I don't honestly see the base getting all that excited if he relies only on his money and these big, giant color flyers. It just doesn't excite me. I've already gotten like 8 or 9 at my home, and it's not even the primary season, not even until March.
Right.
You know, and I've already gotten 9 already. We're not even out of summer yet. So why? Why do I need that many right now? You know, and so I kind of lost interest in him when I got the 4th flyer. Then I've gotten like 4 or 5 cents. So then I go to a rally or a meeting of sorts, a town hall, I guess, of Daniel Biss, and he's talking, you know, a lot like Bernie Sanders did, you know, just the whole people-oriented, you know, you got to, you know, this isn't just about me, it's about all of us, you know, there's a lot of problems, and we need to fix them, and I can't do it alone, we need to do it together. Well, that, you know, and so I, that's what I want. That's the kind of politician I want to be. One where the people can, when they vote for me, whether they're Democrat or even Republican, they'll feel good that they voted for me. And, you know, and because I know that I had some Republicans vote for me when I ran for the county board, because the numbers of the total amount of votes that I got back in November of last year when I ran indicated to me, because the district that I ran in, which is actually close to this area.
How many votes do you need?
You need one more than the other guy, of course, to win. But as far and now, ultimately, I got 20. I think it was 2,599.
Well, not too many of votes, but I think he was telling me how many email signatures.
Oh, for the petition.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the petitions, that goes back to the beginning. You really don't need that many. I only needed 17 to get on the ballot for county board, but I didn't need much more than that to run for city council in Lost Park either.
Now, can just anybody randomly run qualifications or what?
Yeah, anyone can.
Oh.
I mean, look, Donald Trump.
Speaking to him, because you mentioned about how people use their money to get in, so I have to ask your opinion about our current president. Not so much, you don't have to give me opinion on him, but about how he got in. Do you think that people voted for him because they thought he could be a big leader, or do you think this is all about money and entertainment because of his big name as an actor or whatever it is?
Oh, boy. Actually, I don't think Trump won because people voted for him. I think they voted against Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
I think a lot of people did. There's been studies done. I believe it was approximately 8.4 million people who voted for Barack Obama both times voted for Trump. That makes you wonder, why? Why would they vote for Trump after voting for Obama twice? Well,
right.
And I can tell you quickly here why. Because Obama ran as a progressive in the campaign, if you recall.
What does that mean?
Well, he ran as a populist left progressive. Okay, he ran on a populist left message. Single-payer Medicare for all. He actually ran on that in 2008. Well, a lot of people don't remember that. In fact, a lot of Hillary supporters, I should say, don't seem to want to acknowledge that, yeah, actually he did. He ran on that issue. And he got elected because he was talking, basically he was the Bernie Sanders of his time. If you were to superimpose a lot of what Obama said to what Bernie's been saying for the last 50 years, a lot of it sounded the same. But the difference is Bernie, of course, never ran for president until last year. But so that alone shows that Obama ran as a progressive, as a populist left progressive. But upon being elected, we didn't get single payer, did we? We didn't even get a public option. We got the ACA, which was a step in the right direction. Okay, the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was a step in the right direction. There's no denying that. There's some good provisions in there. 26 years old for your kids, you know, pre-existing conditions, and insurance companies had to pay upwards between, I think it was a maximum of 85% of the premiums that they take in had to go toward actual health care. And that's why premiums keep going up and up and up. You know, and I can get into the ACA all day long, but we can do that for another time. And believe me, I can go on that one all day because that's my issue. That's an issue I definitely know. Anyway, so Obama runs as a progressive, and the people, you know, knew that, got elected. Well, then millions of people who've been suffering. I mean, you have the NAFTA. You have jobs being siphoned out of our country. You have the no minimum wage increases. You have the wealthy getting wealthier and poor getting poorer. You have more people going on welfare, food stamps. Lots of communities that are hurting and broken. You know, and Walmart taking over instead of Main Street. You got one big box store, and all these mom and pops, you know, just are dying. Flint, Michigan, is a perfect example of what I mean by this. Back in the 90s, Flint wasn't doing too bad, but then all the manufacturing started going away, and then Walmart came in. But yeah. And so the whole downtown area of Flint, they used to have a population of, I believe it was like 150, 180,000. Now they're like around 50, 60,000. It's a dying city. That's where Michael Moore's from.
Oh.
And so it's this lack of manufacturing. It's this lack of investing in our infrastructure. And so you have Bill Clinton, who sounded like a populist as well back in 92. And, you know, full disclosure, I voted for Ross Perot, but, you know, 92, but then voted for Clinton in 96. But he gave us NAFTA. He gave us the Telecommunications Act. He gave, you know, he, under his watch, the Glass-Steagall Act, law was repealed. And that's the one that allowed the banks to destroy our economy in 2008. So, there's a big history lesson to be learned here. So, and I don't mean to go on a tangent, but it all kind of fits in with the idea when you get into the precinct committee men, mm-hmm. why it's important to know that all these things you have to bear in mind or keep in mind. So when you decide to go and become a precinct committee man, and now we can get into the meat of that, and then we can get into public banking certainly later, which I'm more than happy to do. So the precinct committee men, like I said, any political party, you can even create your own. If you wanted to create your own, like, okay, there's talk about Bernie Sanders running this People's Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us maybe have heard of it, others haven't, but now you have. It's a People's Party. They've got a seriously strong progressive platform, which is basically Bernie's whole platform from when he ran last year in the primary. And so now you have this situation. So now you have – so basically what you have is – so now you have this situation with the precinct committee men and all these different parties where you can become I'm not even sure how to really say it exactly. You know, I'm kind of – there's so much to say usually it's just questions, and then you kind of answer each one as you build it up. but basically the precinct committee men situation, when you want to work for the given political party that you are a part of, your job is to go knock on doors and get the information out to the people. Now, in the case of the no-kill shelter idea, that's nonpartisan. There's no party affiliation there. But if you as a precinct committeeman agree with an issue like that, you would be the one to go knock on doors. And this is not just only for Democrats. You don't just knock on Democrat doors. You knock on Republican doors, independent doors, people who don't even vote.
Your opponents, too.
Yeah, your opponents, too. That's right. And so you get the information to them. Now, when it comes to an actual candidate, now, in my case, it's Daniel Biss. So I will knock on doors for Daniel Biss and get the information out there. For Nathan Ariave, I'll get the information out, you know, for him. For Tricia Sweeney, if she decides to run for state rep, I will do that in my little precinct. Now, precinct is just this little portion of your community. It's usually about 400 to 450 homes. You become an elected official of the party. You can be appointed as well, but being elected is much more fun because you have more say. You can vote on who your candidates will be. So, for example, say Daniel Biss and J.P. Pritzker, just to bring those same two names up again, come in to talk to the Democrats in Winnebago County. They're going to give their speech, and they're looking for our support. Now, individually, I can choose, you know, now the party as a whole cannot endorse a candidate over, you know, one candidate over another. Okay, so
what you mean by that? Like, if it's two people in the circle, you both can't run, you've got to decide which one of the two you want to run, want to vote for or what?
Yes and no. What I mean by that is, in a primary, whether you have two candidates or 100 candidates, the party as a whole, so the whole Democratic Party at Winnebago County, cannot endorse any one given candidate over all the others. But individually speaking, we all can pick the one we want to actually help. So in my case, I'm going to help Daniel Biss. In the case of there are others that I know are in the party who are going to help J.P. Pritzker. There are others yet that are going to help Chris Kennedy. And there might be even one or two that possibly might even help that Amier Pilar, I think is how he pronounces his name. He's the city councilman in Chicago, who's also running for governor. So as individuals, we have that right, but not as a whole. However, when it comes to when the candidate who wins the primary, now, as you know, obviously the party would support that particular candidate, you know, and it should, but individuals are not mandated to have to do it. So, for example, let's say J.P. Pritzker gets the nomination. The party itself will certainly support him any way they can, and that's fine. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I would even vote in favor of letting the party do it. Me as an individual, I cannot find myself the energy or the willingness to actually go door-to-door for a man like J.P. Pritzker because of the fact that he represents everything that I have fought against.
See, everything you don't.
With Bernie Sanders or any progressive for that matter. I mean, again, and I always say Bernie Sanders, I know there's people that are, oh, Bernie again, you know, everything's about Bernie. No, it's not. Bernie is just the current face of the political revolution that always exists. It could have just as easily been Tulsi Gabbard. It could very easily, like, you know, and I know you kind of did it maybe tongue-in-cheek, and for, you know, but I would never do it, but it could be me. If I were to run for president one day, it could very easily be me in 10, 15 years. You know, so Bernie is just the current face. So, and that's the thing that upsets me with so many, you know, people when they think, oh, it's all about Bernie, isn't it? Oh, you talk, you know, you're all a bunch of purists. Well, no, it's not about being a purist. It's about, you know, the political revolution. It's about doing what's right for the majority of the people. And let's face it, H.R. 676, single-payer Medicare for all, $15 minimum wage, revamping our criminal justice system, which is severely broken and racist beyond belief. We've got a poverty situation in this country where 40%, I think it's like 40 million Americans literally live under the poverty line. Okay, and
when you say poverty, you mean basically like low income or?
I'm talking poverty. Forget about paying rent. I'm talking damn near homelessness. I'm talking, you know, whole families living under one roof just to barely make ends meet. I'm talking Gallagher's and Shameless being a reality, only with more people involved under one roof. And that is a real thing. It's been a real thing for decades. And, you know, in fact, I'm reading a book right now by a guy named Michael Harrington. He wrote a book in 1962 called The Other America, where he talks about poverty in America. And this is 1962, and there was a passage in there, which I actually took a picture of and posted it on my Facebook wall yesterday, I'm not going to try and rephrase, you know, I'm not even going to try to paraphrase it, but it was so well-worded that, and you read it going, my God, he wrote this in 1962, it could have been written yesterday pertaining to how things in America have just gotten out of hand. He was basically saying that you can make every single discriminatory law and repeal them all right now, and minority communities would almost barely still be able to take in the full effects of suddenly no discrimination suddenly in the eyes of the law. Well, guess what? most of those acts that actually happened since. A lot of those laws have been reversed from 1962, you know, because civil rights, because that was 3 years before that. So he was talking about a situation before civil rights. Well, here we are in 2017, what, 45 years after that, or almost 50 years since civil rights laws, and it's still true. There's a lot of, you know, minorities, you know, whether it be Black, Hispanic, Asian, Native Americans, who cannot get their hands on the American dream, not because of any fault of their own, but because the system is just broken that way.
Okay, well, listen, what we definitely going to have to do is bring David back for, I'm not going to say a part two, because he actually could come as often as he wants. We live relatively close. And he has a lot of things that positive to say, and we definitely couldn't get it all in one interview. So we down to like 10 minutes left, and I definitely want to go over these three topics briefly. Let's go through them. Let's start with the bank one first. It says Public Banking Institute White Paper. What exactly is that, and what are you trying to get across with this?
Well, these are just some side notes that the public Banking Institute put out for some questions and answers.
Mm-hmm. But what is the bank and, you know, the white paper and all of that about? Like, it's a public bank.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think white paper was really intended to be anything other than just maybe an internal name, perhaps. I'm not sure. I'm not a member of that group. I just know that a guy by the name of Michael Krause was willing to come online and run a presentation here locally. I invited all the elected politicians within Winnebago County, the media. I mean, we're talking Rockford, you know, the county board, Rockford, Loves Park, McChesney, Cherry Valley, Winnebago, you know, Rockton, Roscoe, all the school districts within Winnebago County, Forest Preserve, library districts. I invited them all. No one showed up. Not one elected official showed up. I only had a handful of people in the audience. And two people that came in lived in retirement homes and had read my guest column in the local Register Star paper on that Sunday the Sunday before, and they were interested. So that's good. I mean, so at least I had some interest in some people, but not one elected official. Now I get it. You know, a lot of people are busy. Maybe they didn't know enough. Okay, fine. So that's how it starts, though. This guy came in. He talked about it. Now, basically, all public banking is anyone who knows, the state of North Dakota has a state bank. They've had one for almost 100 years. It's not run by the politicians. It's run by an independent, banking group that are picked by the politicians. So there is that kind of a drawback, I suppose, but who else is going to do it? But they're supposed to be independent. But every year for 97 years, the Bank of North Dakota has run in the black. Instead of, you know, even through the Great Depression and through the recession that we had in 2008, where they've basically taken a lot of the power out of the hands of Wall Street, out of the equation. And all local and community banks actually make money by partnering with public banks. So they could be done at the local level here in our county, and I hope to one day that I can get that accomplished.
Okay, that's well said. Now, the next thing is something that's real sensitive out here when it comes to the animals. I remember when I first moved out here back in 2012, I was this company called Paul's was doing an event over here at the Rockford Speedway or whatnot. So for here we got Winnebago County Animal Services is a high-kill shelter. So why don't you get into this and explain what we got going on here?
Well, this is not technically one of my personal issues. I mean, I've taken up on it because I got to know the two ladies who kind of are more into this than I am. There's a lady named Becky Box. Now, how she spells it, I think it's B-E-A-U or X. B-A-E-E-U-X, I think is how it's, I forget exactly, but it's something like that. And then there's another lady, Kathy Mihalko. And both these ladies, you know, one's doing for the no-kill shelter, and the other one is, I can't remember what she does will come to me later. I apologize. But
Rescue?
Pet rescue. Yeah, about pet rescue. Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, so as far as no-kill goes, now in the back here, this is Nathan Weinelbred's 11-step no-kill equation.
Oh,
and again,
okay.
You can take a scan of that so you're listeners can view it later, so they'll know what we're talking about. And basically, right now, currently, our animal shelter in this county has a kill rate of approximately 48%. And what that is that, so say you have 100 animals that come in. So I don't know how many animals can fit. Let's just assume it's 100 just to make nice and easy math here. So you have 100 animals that come in. 48 have to be put down almost within a couple of days.
Why is that? Because I got a pit bull. I got a dog. And let's just say I was telling my wife, well, what if we just gave it to the shelter? She said they'll put it asleep. So why is that?
Just to make room for more animals, because let's face it, there's obviously going to be more than 100. So, you know, and again, I only use 100 to make math easier. So figure 48 will be put down to make room for 48 more. And that's just the way it is. Now, under a no-kill shelter idea, there's no initial costs other than maybe the possibility that they have to expand the shelter that exists right now. Mm-hmm. But if they do it right, that won't even have to be done. Because you have to you increase the adoption rates, you know, by getting all your local communities to allow people to adopt more animals. You do TNR, which is trap, neuter, and release, you know, on as many animals as you can. So an animal gets brought in. Say, you know, you grab 50 cats, wild cats. Well, instead of putting 40, you know, 24 of them asleep. You trap, you know, you've trapped them, now you neuter them, give them a couple of days rest, and then you put them back in the wild. So they can still live their lives like they've always, you know, because they're already, you know, they're feral cats, but they can't make more babies. You can do that with rabbits, you can do that with foxes, you can do that with dogs, you can do that with possums. I mean, any animal that's caught can just simply be neutered and then released and back into the wild. And no kill has historically been proven that every community that goes no kill, the amount of donations nearly triples in every single community that goes no kill. So no reason why that wouldn't happen here.
Awesome. Okay, and this final paper, why don't you explain exactly what says the most powerful office in the world is not the President of the United States. So what does that mean?
Well, the President of the United States is the most powerful position in our democracy, but not in our democratic process. The democratic process starts at the precinct committeeman, and this is kind of what I was saying before. So, I kind of went on a tangent. I apologize for that.
No, it's okay.
I tend to do that.
It's okay.
I think I left off where I was saying that the precinct committeeman. They're the ones that go door to door. They're the ones that can make or break whether a given politician gets the nomination or not the nomination, but the endorsement of the party or not, or whether that person wants to actually help.
How many are there?
Okay, in this, well, every county is different. Now let's keep it local. So we're going to talk about Winnebago now. There's 197 total precincts in the county in Winnebago County and City of Rockford. Because Rockford has its own separate thing with elections, but they run off the same precincts as the county does. So nothing changes there. So there's 197. Now, currently, the Democratic Party has only about 23 elected precinct committeemen. But there's approximately about 25 that are appointed.
What you mean, difference between elected and appointed? Like, if enough people don't run, you got to say, hey, here's a...
Elected means that your name is on the ballot. Uh-huh. Appointed means that you come to us, the party, and you announce, you know, hi, my name is, you know, so-and-so, and I want to be a precinct committeeman, and this is why, and you go through the whole spiel. Oh, yeah, So then we as a party can then we take a vote. Okay, yeah, we like the idea. This guy wants to be a precinct committeeman. Awesome. And then the chairman of the party, signs off on it, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's not quite that easy. I mean, it takes 2 months to do it. So you come in and announce yourself, and then the following month, then you're appointed. Or you can wait and become an elected official with – you get your petition papers, you go get 10 signatures, you hand it in to the county clerk's office, and then your name's on the ballot during the primary season, which will be March next year. And
yeah, what happens from there? You get elected. What's the next thing, people? Now
okay, so you're in there for 2 years. At that point, now your job is to now go door to door and talk to the people, get to know your constituents.
Okay.
You let them know who you are.
So what's the difference between this, a priest, a committee man, and an alderman?
An alderman is an actual city councilman for the actual city itself. When you're a priest and committeeman, you're just an elected official for the act, for the political party. Okay, so you have priest and committeeman, which is political party, alderman for your city, county board obviously for your county, congressman for your county, you know, state rep for your state, legislature, you know, so on and so forth. So 197 precincts. There's less than 50 people who are either elected or appointed, and I can honestly say that probably less than 10 of the people, and this includes where I'm one of the few, and probably are too, where I'd say 10, maybe no more than 10 of us actually go out and do our jobs. A lot of people, they become appointed because it looks good on a resume. Because, look, I'm a precinct chairman.
Yeah,
and that allows them maybe to get through the door to talk to their state senator, which is fine.
They're trying to use
whatever they say,
but not actually want to do the
job. Because, I mean, it's one thing if you have an agenda and you go to your state senator or state rep, and that's fine. But if you don't go to the people who actually do the voting, well, then you're just doing it for your own personal agenda and not actually trying to get anyone elected or to push a particular agenda. Now, when I run for office, I knock on doors left and right. Almost every day I'm out there knocking on a bunch of doors. And I have no problem going saying the kind of person I am. I'm a Democratic Socialist. I was telling that to Republicans. I was told, oh, my God, Dave, if you do that, you ain't even going to get 20% of the total vote if you tell people you're a Democratic Socialist. Well, guess what? Back in 2012 when I ran, okay, in a highly Republican district, I got almost 44% of the vote. Okay, and I shouldn't have gotten more than in reality, I really shouldn't have gotten more than 22% because that's all the rest of your Democrats are worth was approximately 22%. Yet I managed to almost double it. You know, and why? Well, because I was out there getting my name out there and telling people who I really was.
Right.
They may not have agreed with me, but they believed in my honesty.
Wow. Okay, so we got to close out. I want to get to Art, but I don't want to go back and forth. So let's close out with David. I want to give him the floor and give him the room to anything we may not have covered or put out there. Just some closing statements, and then give out your Facebook or where people may want to contact you to get more advice or more, you know, of the wisdom or whatnot. So anything we may not have covered that you want to make sure you get out there.
I could go on and all day long, but I won't. And one other quick issue is recycling mattresses is another issue of mine that I'm going to start building on. I'm starting to do some research on that. So I'll hold off on that until the next time I'm on. Nathan Ariave running for Congress. I mean, you know, full disclosure, I'm currently an advisor to him. So, learn who he is. S-A-R-R-O.
I got his name. Yeah, Nathan, right here, A-R-R-O-Y-A-V-E, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, Daniel Biss is running for governor, and he's my guy. So look him up at BISS. We can get into next time I'm on, we can get into other issues like that recycling idea. We can talk about HR 676, expanded and improved Medicare for all, Social Security, poverty in America, even at the local level, and things that we could do at the local level. Like creating homeless shelters, or what do they call those? The heating and cooling centers and stuff like that. There's all kinds of ideas. What we need are leaders and politicians willing to actually do the work of the people. And hopefully one day the people will finally elect me and they'll see how and we'll see what happens.
Okay, and what would you like the people to follow you at, though? What's your best? Is it Facebook? Is it your website or what?
They can go to my website. That's certainly where they're going to get the most information. But David Saul or David J. Saul on Facebook. I do have a side project that I do, which is more for entertainment value. So if anyone's on Facebook, at any time, all they have to do is put in a hashtag. So hashtag and then Bernie and then POP. So Bernie Pop. And just put in the hashtag on Facebook, and you'll find out what it is that I do on the side for fun. So enjoy that. That's more for kind of humor than anything else, but, it's just something that I started doing. Just find me on Facebook or my website. That's pretty much the way, too.
Okay, that was well said and an awesome interview. I didn't know David at all outside of the things that Art was telling me before he came in, and now I feel like I know him, very well. In fact, when he comes back, we didn't get a lot into about him. When you voting for somebody, when you electing somebody, you want to know who the person is. I don't care how high or how low what it is you're running for. You want to know about him. And he has a lovely picture with his family. We didn't talk much about his family, about the man, about him growing up, about some of the things that he did. As a young child and as a teenager, and we'll get into a lot of that as we get up close with him on our second interview. So I want to thank David J. Soul for coming in. It was really nice getting to know you, and I learned a lot of things in this interview. We've been going 45 minutes straight through, no commercials, no music, and it's been really powerful. So I'm going to say this on air, so David can hear me. He was, asking about the following as far as, who's listening to the show. And this is how it is when you got an online radio show, and mainly me. I'm really into the music industry, and I'm breaking into politics a little bit with art. When I first moved out here, I talked about politics, and I wanted to do it, and I actually encouraged my wife. I said, you know what? I do what I do. Why don't you get into politics? Why don't you run for this? And it was crazy. This was, 5 years ago. And I'm somebody that I waited to God put people into my life to make things happen. And, Art came on, and he was y'all talking about it or whatever. He's already met my wife. So things don't happen by accident. You know what I mean?
Children.
Right, exactly. Sure. She's downstairs. Right? All right, that's another thing that we didn't talk about. I didn't, too much think you wanted to talk so much about the bus driving and getting to the kids and all of that. But that is something that you do, and we can do that. We could definitely get into that next time. Like I said, I do want to, let you be able to talk about your family. I see that you have a family, and that's important when you, voting for people or whatnot. But it's been a great interview, and I see that Art wants to say something. I think he was touching on the precinct committee, man. So, Art, why don't you go ahead and just, Art don't like to talk too much, but it must be something he want to hit. So let's go ahead. And I introduced Art in the beginning before he was even here. Then he came right in. So this is my partner, and he'll be on a lot. So, Tia was supposed to, what happened to Tia Regan? You say she was coming. That's my co-host.
She was coming.
That's about that Tia. So I think whenever Art is here, he's going to be my co-host. So he won't need a grand entrance or whatnot. But go ahead and touch on what you want to say.
Okay, my name is Art Barsley. I'm the precinct committeeman of Harlem 10 in Winnebago County. And I just want to touch on one thing. For all the activists out there, for all the protesters, doing what you're doing is a great thing. And I've even protested myself. But there's one more thing I believe is really important, and that's becoming a precinct committeeman. A precinct committeeman, if you have enough, David? Enough of progressive precinct committeemans in the Democratic Party in Winnebago County, you can make a difference. You can help write party platform. You can choose who runs for office. And the power really starts with the precinct committeeman in the county. So I encourage you, anybody who wants to be a precinct committeeman, there's a lot of spots open, and you can make your voice heard in the Democratic Party, and that's for real.
All you got to do is call your county clerk and ask them for the name of the chairman of your of whatever party you want to be affiliated with, Democrat, Republican, Green, whatever exists in your area.
You have no restrictions. You could just go and run.
Yeah.
Or you can call the radio show.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. Well, that has been an amazing interview, and I can see these guys ready to get on out of here. But it's been great. That was my man Art, and this is my man David J. Soul. I'm Dynamite from Rockford, Illinois. We go get on here, and it's been a blast. So until next time, I will see you soon. Remember, put God first in everything you do, and remember, you can hear this show whenever you want. As soon as we're done, as soon as I get off the air, It'll be available for podcast, and anybody in the world that missed it can come and hear this amazing interview. These guys live in my community, so we will definitely be seeing more of them in the future. So with that being said, I will see you soon. God bless.